The good news guys have done it again, and there's extra good news this week at Ron Good Toyota, 1825 Park Street in Alameda on the good side of the bridge. A 33% increase in new Toyota sales means extra cars, and Ron Good Toyota's got them. Either it's the family Camry, sporty MR2, exciting Celica, or hard-to-find Corolla or to sell, Ron Good's got them all. To move these extra new Toyotas, Ron Good's having an allocation invoice sale. Pick your new Toyota, see the invoice, and make your offer. As a special bonus, all new Toyota pickups, cargo vans, and van conversions in stock are on sale at just 3.5% over factory wholesale invoice, plus dealer options, if any. Buy it less than fleet at Ron Good Toyota. Get the number one deal on the number one car or truck from the Bay Area's number one dealer, Ron Good Toyota, 1825 Park Street, Alameda. The good news, guys, on the good side of the bridge.
Okay, it's about 4 minutes until 9 o'clock, rather, at 560 KSFO. The space shuttle exploded shortly after launch this morning, and we're just waiting and hoping that there is the slim possibility of some good news. There were about 4,000 students from all over the United States to see the first private citizen to fly the shuttle, Christy McAuliffe, the school teacher, of course. Not all of the students were still there because of the numerous delays, but there were still thousands who saw the space shuttle explode shortly after takeoff. And according to our informants down there, the viewing areas are now more or less empty. People have quickly moved away, and there is a very somber attitude. But, of course, all of our thoughts are turning now to the condition, if there is a condition of any possible survivors, and there are parachuting people into the area. So we'll learn more in about 3 minutes. Okay, it's a minute until 9 o'clock, and here is Dave Henderson with an update. Dave?
Carter, we've been gathering more information as much as possible in the newsroom now. If you haven't heard, a tragic accident at Cape Canaveral this morning involving the Space Shuttle Challenger. Liftoff was scheduled for 8:38 this morning. Now, let's go back to that launch just seconds after it took off the launch pad with Dick Uliano and Bob Moon reporting.
City 2,900 feet per second altitude.
Something went wrong here. We've got a problem with what looks like a second plume of smoke.
We do have a problem, Bob. It looks as if one of the solid, it may have lost a solid rocket booster. It's hard to tell.
There are two separate plumes of smoke in the shuttle. We can't tell which one the shuttle is now. They've separated.
We should not have had solid rocket booster separation for 2.5 minutes. after it leaves the pad. And in about a minute
flight
and a half...
Flight controllers here looking very carefully at the situation. Obviously a major malfunction.
The view from the ground is obscured by this pillar of steam now.
We have no downlink.
Something's gone terribly wrong.
If you're just joining us, the Space Shuttle Challenger has just lifted off the pad, and we've had a problem here, a major problem. We're getting no telemetry, no data back from the shuttle, according to what we're hearing from Mission Control. It appeared that something separated. There may have been an explosion.
Explosion occurred about 40 seconds.
Bob, we see the long plume of smoke twisted up into the sky, and then strings of smoke hanging down below.
We have a report from the flight dynamics officer that the vehicle has exploded. Flight director confirms that. We are looking at checking with the recovery forces to see what can be done at this point.
Once again, if you just joined us, the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded less than 2 minutes after launch this morning. Let's join the network now. We go live to the White House, and White House spokesman Larry speaks.
15 or 20 minutes after an incident of this type is concerned, I'm sure it will not affect the United States' determination to consider to continue the exploration of space and all the benefits we've received from it.
Can you tell anything else about the schedule?
While this is indeed tragic, it certainly will not deter the United States in its interest in space exploration.
With all the problems that the shuttle has had, will any substantial reevaluation be done of the program itself?
Well, once again, you're very premature in asking a question concerning the future of the space program. The United States has met adversity many times before in the space program. It is one of the most effective and successful programs of that type that any country has ever undertaken.
Larry, can you tell us anything specifically that the president said, any quotations? And did he make any mention of the fact that the teacher that he suggested, that the program of a teacher in space, that teacher was on board this flight?
Well, I know that was on his mind. Quite frankly, the president was stood there in almost stunned silence as he watched the television. You could certainly read the concern, the sorrow, the anxiety on his face as he watched, and the group watched around him. As I say, he was virtually watched in silence.
Might anyone from the White House be leading some sort of investigating team, or will it just be up to NASA to investigate this?
All this is very, very early, and there's just nothing we can say. Our immediate concern is the crew, and all of these other questions will just have to be deferred until much later.
Was anything said about the fact that the teacher was on board this plane?
Well, it was something that was on all of our minds that we did have the first teacher in space, really the first civilian, so to speak, other than our members of Congress who have flown in space, and certainly that's on our mind.
Are there any scientific aides who have been able to say that they could survive such an explosion?
Just don't have that kind of information
yet. You said that the Vice President, Admiral Poindexter, informed the President. How did the White House learn about it?
I'm certain that we probably learned it from the news media, as we do many times when incidents like this occur unexpectedly.
Might this influence the decision about whether other civilians will be allowed on the shuttle from now on, Larry?
Once again, all of these questions, our immediate concern is for the fate of the crew, to find out exactly what has happened to those seven people aboard. All of these other questions, we'll just have to wait till later.
Dave? Tell us anything about how the president's schedule is changing now.
The president's schedule has not changed. He will keep on with what he had planned today and the State of the Union tonight. And once again, I think the only change in his schedule would be to simply be updated and try to seek the facts in this.
Will the president be making any phone calls to the family, Larry?
I just don't know. He customarily does, but we're going to wait till we find out what the facts are.
Larry, he watched in silence, but were there no quotes that you could give us?
Nothing. It was virtually in silence.
Are you going to know what's being done now, Larry, in terms of searching for...
No. That all of that information we just do not have yet. Dale, you had one question and you want to go on? Okay.
What are your plans about briefing the rest of the afternoon on that?
Well, I think once we find out what the facts are and particularly what the fate of the crew is, then we'll be prepared to say something.
Murray, did you detect any sign of emotion as the president watched? Was he shaking his head?
Concern,
voice?
Concern, anxiety, silence.
Heard White House spokesman Larry speaks there, reacting to this terrible tragedy this morning, the explosion of the Space Shuttle Challenger on launch. I'm Bob Moon, along with correspondent Dick Giuliano at the Kennedy Space Center, and if you are just joining us, this is AP Network News live coverage of the mission of Challenger and what has now turned to tragedy. Joining us now is AP correspondent David Terawaisaki. He has been covering the New Hampshire part of this mission. The school teacher who was flying on this mission, Krista McAuliffe, was a high school teacher from New Hampshire. And Dave was with the spectators out in the VIP area watching the launch. Dave, what did you see?
What seconds earlier had been excitement. Excitement is the only word that was in the stands. Everyone was cheering. They saw the explosion and thought that was the separation of the rockets and cheered at that because yesterday they thought they wouldn't be able to see that because of cloud cover. That's what they thought it was. A moment later, they heard word from Mission Control that the explosion was not what they thought it was.
And so that was the situation at the VIP area. Let's go back now to the launch time and hear a replay of the first word we got of the explosion of Challenger. This was the description from NASA's commentator Steve Nesbitt.
We have a report from the flight dynamics officer that the vehicle has exploded. Flight director confirms that. We are looking at checking with the recovery forces to see what can be done at this point. We have a report relayed through the flight dynamics officer that the vehicle has exploded. We are now looking at all the contingency operations and awaiting word from any recovery forces in the downrange field. Reports from the flight dynamics officer indicate that the vehicle apparently exploded and that impact in the water at a point approximately 28.64 degrees north, 80.28 degrees west.
NASA commentator Steve Nesbitt describing the explosion of Challenger on launch. It happened about a minute into the launch. We have been told by NASA since then that the ascent was normal as far as NASA could see, and that they did track an impact off the coast of Florida in the Atlantic. Paramedics parachuted into the area, and that is the last word we have from there. Again, correspondent David Terawaisaki, Associated Press correspondent who has been covering the New Hampshire angle of this mission, Krista McAuliffe, the school teacher on board, a school teacher from New Hampshire. David has brought in a recording of the scene out at the VIP area where they were watching the launch, and here is what was heard out in the spectator area.
Apparently exploded. At a point approximately 28.64 degrees north, 80.
The scene in the bleachers, the third grade class that includes Krista McAuliffe's son Scott. He was not with him today. He was taken Saturday night to be with his father for the launch and to be away from the class. Parents and chaperones, about a dozen parents, have been chaperoning the 19 children this week Everyone turned to each other and looked in disbelief. The parents were hugging the children. The children were crying. The parents were crying, trying to make sure they were keeping track of the two or three kids each they were responsible for. About two rows in front of the parents and right in front of me were Mr. and Mrs. Corrigan, Ed and Grace Corrigan from Framingham, Massachusetts, Krista McAuliffe's parents. They looked in disbelief when they heard the announcement. I don't think it sunk in immediately. A NASA official walked into the bleachers, climbed up a few rows to where they were, and quietly looked them in the eye and said, "The vehicle has exploded." Mrs. Corrigan looked back at him in disbelief and repeated, as in asking a question, her response was, "The vehicle has exploded." And he just nodded his head. I spoke to him later. He said he didn't think immediately. Of course, they knew exactly what he had meant. They were led away. The stands emptied immediately. The school principal, Clint Cogswell from Concord, New Hampshire, and the teachers herded the children or moved the children quickly onto the bus. They were all crying. They are all shocked. Scott is a good friend of theirs, Scott McAuliffe, the youngster. Many of the parents were personal friends of Krista. Head of the teachers' union in Concord, New Hampshire, David Staples, is here. He's a colleague and friend of Krista. He was in shock. He was fighting back tears when I spoke to him. And obviously, many of the people in the stands, including the class, had extended their trip. They were supposed to leave yesterday. They made last-minute arrangements, extended the trip to today to take in what they thought would be the highlight of their busy week in Florida. Bob?
David, you were obviously watching these kids. I assume you also had an eye on the launch. Can you tell us what you saw?
I was going back and forth, watching the rocket, watching the kids. I too thought that the explosion was the separation of the rockets from the shuttle, but then it began to appear to corkscrew. And I had never seen that in a launch before. This is the first launch I've covered. I've only seen them on TV, and the first thought I had was that looked strange. I didn't believe that it would make such a gyration in launch, and thought more like it would be a straight line. The kids, I'm sure, didn't know what it meant. Some of the parents looked as though they couldn't figure out why there was such a zigzag line in the sky. And then when the announcement came over the loudspeaker that there was a major malfunction, a hush fell over the bleacher. Silence, complete silence. Everyone stared up at the smoke in the sky. There wasn't a sound in the bleacher, and then the announcement came that apparently there had been an explosion, and everyone burst into tears.
Dave, you mentioned that the parents were in the bleachers. Was Krista's son in those bleachers?
No. He stayed with the class until Saturday night. And Saturday night, there was a reception in Orlando, co-hosted, I assume, by his father, Stephen McAuliffe, and the wives of the current mission commander and the past mission commander, a traditional reception, as I understand it. Scott went to the reception and stayed with his father after that because of the scheduled launch, of course, Sunday morning.
Do we know where they were this morning?
We were told in advance that they would be in the special viewing area building slightly to the left of where the VIP grandstand was, but very close to it, probably within 100 yards of it. So we assume that Stephen McAuliffe, his son Scott, possibly daughter Caroline, who is 6, Scott is 9, were in that viewing area. Mr. and Mrs. Corrigan, Krista McAuliffe's parents, were not in the special viewing area. They were in the bleachers with the kids.
Okay, let's go back again. That was AP correspondent David Terrell-Wysocki, who has been covering the New Hampshire delegation, you might say, here at the Kennedy Space Center. All the visitors who came to see New Hampshire high school teacher Krista McAuliffe's flight into space. Let's go back out to AP correspondent Dick Giuliano. And Dick, maybe you can give us, for those just joining us along the line here, a recap of this morning's tragedy.
It was about a half hour ago, Bob, when Challenger was on its launch pad and began to lift off. What we normally look for when the shuttle lifts up off the launch pad, it should roll to the right and then arch up out over the Atlantic. We got that. That seemed to be correct. Normally, you'll hear a call from Mission Control when they'll say a Roger roll. It begins to ascend up into the sky, and we watch for an ascent really out toward the Atlantic. And then when it reaches about 28 miles high, the solid rocket boosters should separate, and it continues to rise. It never reached that point. It was approximately a minute after liftoff when something horribly tragic happened. As Dave Tyrrell Wysocki of Concord, New Hampshire described, it was almost like a corkscrew motion. And rather than that one bright tail of flame that we should see as the shuttle rises, we saw two, perhaps three. And then all we could see was that white smoke, and we saw drifting below it almost stringy pieces of white smoke, perhaps debris drifting down over into the Atlantic Ocean. This all began a little more than 30 minutes ago. A crew of seven aboard Challenger, and we've been told a recovery ship has been sent out with medevac personnel, and that's where we stand now. The visitor stand, where our Concord, New Hampshire correspondent was reporting with the children and some of the visiting delegates, has cleared out and is very, very quiet now here at the Kennedy Space Center.
Just a stunned disbelief that this has happened after 25 very successful missions for this space shuttle, and 24 previous missions, and this was going to be Challenger's 10th mission into space. Standing by with us now is correspondent Mark Smith, who can give us a little bit more background. Mark?
Well, Bob, I'd like to bring you back to the last time that Challenger flew, which was a mission that ended in August of 1985. At that point, now that was July 29th, when it was ready to launch. They launched it from the Cape. It actually got 5 minutes and 45 seconds into its flight when one of the three main engines, number one, shut down. At that point, a computer cut in and ordered the other two to keep going longer than expected, and so the vehicle was able to get up into Earth orbit, lower than they expected, but it did indeed get up into Earth orbit. Now, after the shuttle came down, obviously they took a look at it and looked at what they could of the engines, and they came to the conclusion that some faulty sensors, heat sensors inside the shuttle, had become defective and had been telling the computer that there was a heat pump overheating. As a result of which, the computer then went along and shut down engine number one. It was 5 minutes, 45 seconds into flight. No serious harm done. They weren't quite able to get up into as high an orbit as they planned. Well, those three sensors were removed after the shuttle landed. Rockwell International, the main contractor, said, well, yes, indeed, those sensors were defective. They said as a matter of fact, one of the company officials said, we found what we expected to find. And so they believed they had fixed the problem. Now, we absolutely must emphasize we have no way of knowing whether that problem was connected with what took place today. I want to play you a recording of Gordon Fullerton, the mission commander, on the last shuttle mission, asked about those engine problems and what he said when he got back to Earth.
We are going to recommend that they send it back to the shop for an engine tune-up. But once we got it established on orbit, we just had nothing to report, literally. It was as clean a flight as I've ever heard of.
Okay, and I also should go back into our archives here at AP Network News and play you, again, a recording of Jess Moore, NASA's associate administrator for space flight at the time. He also was asked about that engine shutdown episode, and he too was not terribly concerned about it.
We are, I think, in our early stages of the operations of this program, and I think we probably had less than 2 hours of actual flight time of the shuttle engine in terms of the ascent phase. And so I think that's a very small actual flight data sample that we have to gain our experience from.
So basically he was saying that they hope they would fly shuttle again and learn more about it, from actual in-flight experience. Once again, we must emphasize that we have no way of knowing, certainly at this early stage, whether today's accident was connected at all with the problems experienced on that earlier mission, which, as I said, went up July 29th of last year and came down after otherwise a perfectly normal flight in August. Bob?
It is, of course, all speculation at this point, and we might add, again, just as some background here, that earlier this morning, there was concern about icicles which had formed on the launch tower. Those icicles, in some cases, we were told, had formed to 1 to 2 feet long, and there was concern that when the shuttle blasted off, they could shake off the tower, possibly striking the shuttle and damaging the fragile heat-shielding tiles. We might mention that that would make the craft aerodynamically unsound if that damage was major. Here at the Kennedy Space Center, the sky was just a clear, crystal clear blue sky. The AP's Dick Uliano is now standing outside, and Dick, we can still see the remains of the steam cloud.
It is. It is still a clear blue sky. And
this is KSFO News. We're going to leave our live coverage for the moment until new information comes in and is gathered. If you're just joining us and you haven't heard, a tragedy this morning. The space shuttle Challenger exploded and went down in flames shortly after launch. Witnesses watching the launch on NASA TV saw an explosion less than 2 minutes into the launch. The craft separated, debris branched off into two directions. Right now, ships and helicopters are racing to the area where the space shuttle Challenger went down. The control center says paramedics have leaped into the water. We have no additional information. There's no immediate word on the fate of the seven-member crew, but with such an explosion, there's little hope that there will be any survivors. Carter?
Thank you, David. And I think you agree that one of the most difficult darn jobs in the world is what those men now are doing, having to fill time and essentially just tread water until further information is developed. All kinds of speculation about this and that and the other thing. They have to keep talking and they have to keep sending out information. And if there's no new information developed, it's a most difficult job. And quite obviously, we'll bring you up to date and let you know anything that develops just as soon as we get further definitive information. It's 20 minutes after 9 o'clock at 560 KSFO.
Excuse me, nurse. I've been waiting 2 hours to see the doctor.
Did you take a number?
No.
Take a number.
Okay, I took a number. It's 78.
Number 23.
I'm number 23.
First door on the left.
Hello, how are you, Mrs. K?
No, doctor, it's Gray.
Fine, Mrs. O'Day. And how long have you been coming here?
2 years.
That's funny, I've never seen you before.
I could say the same about you.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mrs. McRae, what seems to be the problem?
The problem is that most people think this is about as personal as health maintenance organizations get. But when you choose the MaxiCare health plan, you can choose your own MaxiCare doctor. A doctor who knows you and is genuinely concerned about you. A doctor you can see as often as you need without ever paying a deductible or filling out any forms.
Well, it was nice meeting you, Mrs. Shea.
No, doctor, it's Gray.
Oh, my mistake, Mrs. Clay.
MaxiCare, because you'll feel better with a doctor who knows you.
For more information on how you can join MaxiCare, ask your employer or call MaxiCare at 415-375-8600.
Right now, Bruner's, the carpet store, is taking the chill out of winter with 20 to 50% savings on quality installed carpeting with no payments until July. Warm up to hundreds of styles, colors, and textures of installed carpeting from famous mills like Karastan, Lee's, Bigelow, Walter, Coronet, Evans Black, and more. Snuggle up to your new Long Life carpeting of DuPont Antron Nylon, featuring soil and wear resistance, static control, and a 5-year wear warranty. You'll toast 20 to 50% savings and no payments until July. Plus, all Bruner's sale prices include expert installation, premium pad, pull-up of old carpet, and normal furniture moves.
I've been to Bruner's, and now I've seen everything.
Outfox Old Man Winter and add warmth to your home. Right now, you can save 20 to 50% on quality installed carpeting with no payments until July. Only at Bruner's, the carpet store.
Twenty-three after nine, chance of rain sometime this afternoon.
Girl, we've come a long, long way. Too far for us to end this way. Must pay if that old give and take. So don't you think if you and I step back and let our hearts decide. Maybe it would all work out in time. So won't you stay? Please don't go.
Kenny Rogers, Love Is What We Make It, at 26 minutes after 9 o'clock on 560 KSFO. Carter B. with you. In that people are turning on the radio literally every second, people waking up, people getting to the radio. We have to be very repetitious on a sad moment like this. The Launch Shuttle Challenger with the school teacher Krista McAuliffe aboard, just seconds after ignition. There was a problem. We don't know what the problem is definitively yet. And Challenger itself went out into the ocean, where they have parachuted rescue people. And that's where it stands. It's almost to the day when, in 1967, three lost their lives 19 years ago, on January 27th, 1967. So Dave Henderson will be in here in just about 3 or 4 minutes and will give us a further update. But at the moment, the question is, were there any survivors? And those who saw the monitor of the launch, it does not look good. But anyway, that's, again, speculation, and we'll fill you in and bring you up to date just as soon as possible. It's 27 minutes after 9 o'clock at 560 KSFO.
Its discovery began the California Gold Rush and made some lucky people very wealthy. Today, you don't need a pick and shovel for your chance to strike it rich. Just a lottery ticket in the new California Gold Rush instant game. Just find three matching prize amounts and win an instant prize of up to $25,000. Or uncover a nugget symbol and two matching prize amounts, and your prize doubles up to $50,000. Overall odds of winning are better than 1 in 8. If you uncovered three entry symbols, you could stake your claim to the Mother Lode, the weekly growing grand prize that starts at $3 million and grows and grows. You must be 18 to play. Prizes of $1 million or more are paid in equal installments over 20 years. And remember, when you play the California Lottery, our schools win too. The California Lottery, it's richer than ever.
Can you imagine a brand new White Westinghouse refrigerator absolutely free, or free padding with your carpet? Then come on over to Direct Sales in Castro Valley and discover the number one store in the East Bay specializing in complete home remodeling. Under one roof, find carpeting from all the major carpet mills, the largest selection of wallpapers in the East Bay, draperies, levelers, and mini blinds, kitchen cabinetry to dazzle the imagination, and countertops of Formica, Corian, and a huge selection of tile, all at near wholesale prices. Call Direct Sales today at 538-5000 or check your East Bay Yellow Pages under Carpeting for your free in-home consultation and discover how you can receive your new refrigerator with your new kitchen or pad with your new carpet. Only at Direct Sales in Castro Valley. Call us at 538-5000 and take advantage of this very limited offer. Can you think of a better way to get acquainted? That's Direct Sales in Castro Valley at 538-5000.
We get an update from Dave Henderson in just a moment. I might observe that Krista McAuliffe, who was, as you probably know, the first private citizen in space, and NASA was quite hopeful that because she was such a breath of fresh air, so bright and alert and such a human sort of person, they were hopeful that it would, in fact, increase our interest in space efforts. In the later launches, we'd pretty well gotten used to it. This would have been the 25th successful launch until tragedy struck earlier today. But we'd gotten used to the fact that these launches were taking place all the time, and it's like anything else. I observed that, for example, in the takeoff of the first China Clipper, there were 100,000 people around the bay to see it off. And now, of course, flights go out into the Pacific and no one pays any attention at all. So NASA, always concerned with its public image and concerned with keeping the interest in the space efforts peaked, was quite excited by this bright young school teacher from the Northeast. So we're still waiting and still standing by. And if is Dave there? Or we'll do another commercial and then we'll get the very latest from Dave. So Dave Henderson in a second. In fact, he's here right now.
When the sun goes south in winter to the grand land of the Andes and brings to Chile summer's golden days, in soft sun fruit is growing while it's winter in America, in orchards and in vineyards far away, where fruit and grapes all know another season. In Chile, in a land like California, USA, sends its best. Chile sends its best.
Alpha Beta's produce departments look as colorful as a summer's day because they're lit up by Chile's beautiful blushed peaches, nectarines, and deep-toned plums. These fruit treasures imported from South America were rushed here at peak ripeness and are dripping with goodness and flavor. So why miss out on summer all over again? Shop Alpha Beta for Chile's finest fruits and tell a friend.
This is KSFO News. I'm Dave Henderson. NASA's worst nightmare came true as an explosion rocked the Space Shuttle Challenger this morning, shortly after it lifted off from Cape Canaveral.
City 2,900 feet per second altitude.
Something went wrong here. We've got a problem with what looks like a second plume of smoke. We do have a problem, Bob. It looks as if one of the solid, it may have lost a solid rocket booster. It's hard to tell. There are two separate plumes of smoke in the shuttle. We can't tell which one the shuttle is now. They've separated.
We should not have had solid rocket booster separation for 2.5 minutes after it leaves the pad. And at about a minute
flight
and a half...
Flight controllers here looking very carefully at the situation. Obviously a major malfunction.
The view from the ground is obscured by this pillar of steam now.
We have no downlink.
Something's gone terribly wrong.
If you're just joining us, the Space Shuttle Challenger has just lifted off the pad, and we've had a problem here, a major problem. We're getting no telemetry, no data back from the shuttle, according to what we're hearing from Mission Control. It appeared that something separated. There may have been an explosion.
Explosion occurred about 40 seconds.
Bob, we see the long plume of smoke twisted up into the sky. and then strings of smoke hanging down below.
I have a report from the flight dynamics officer that the vehicle has exploded. Flight director confirms that. We are looking at checking with the recovery forces to see what can be done at this point.
Now, there's no indication if the explosion on the shuttle Challenger occurred in the solid boosters or in the shuttle's main engines, which are fueled by hydrogen and oxygen from the main tank. When the craft lifted off at 8:38 this morning, our time, the tank carried more than 500,000 gallons of volatile liquid hydrogen and oxygen. Mission Control says there was no indication of any problem with the engines, the solid boosters, or any other system. It says the shuttle just suddenly blew apart. President Reagan has been informed of the explosion, this happening immediately after the incident, but the White House has declined comment until it has more information on the situation. Aboard the shuttle were seven crew members, including New Hampshire teacher Krista McAuliffe, the first private citizen to fly in space. And the students at Krista McAuliffe's Concord High School in New Hampshire were cheering the launch when a teacher yelled for them to be silent because something appeared to be wrong. As it became clear that there was an explosion, the students murmured, "This can't be real. We can't be watching this." Students were ordered back to their rooms. Many of them protested that they wanted to continue watching in the auditorium. McAuliffe's husband and her two children, aged 6 and 9, were thought to be watching the launch from a special viewing area at Cape Canaveral. Once again, if you are just joining us, a tragedy at Cape Canaveral this morning. The shuttle Challenger exploded on launch. KSFO News Time now, 9:35. And now here's KSFO's Metro Traffic.
Metro Traffic is sponsored by Mothers Against Drunk Driving. It's an accident in Hayward, southbound Limits Freeway, south of Winton Avenue. CHP on the scene there. They are clearing up the accident we mentioned earlier on the ramp in San Mateo from westbound 92 to the northbound El Camino Real. Only a brief delay remaining at the Bay Bridge toll plaza. We're checking an accident call. This is the north end of the Antioch Bridge. Not exactly sure which direction is affected there, but be on the lookout as you approach the Antioch Bridge. In the South Bay, Caltrans shutting down some ramps until 3 o'clock this afternoon. They'll be working on the ramp from east and westbound Stevens Creek Boulevard to the northbound Nimitz Freeway. David Anthony, Metro Traffic Control. Drunk driving crashes aren't accidents. They're preventable crimes. Mothers Against Drunk Driving urges you to join the fight against drunk driving. Stop drunk drivers. Support stricter laws and better enforcement.
As new information becomes available on the tragedy at Cape Canaveral this morning, we will go to the network live. For now, no new information is available, but again, as soon as becomes available, we will have it for you. The Bay Area weather forecast, mostly cloudy today with a 20% chance of rain by this afternoon. Highs today will be in the 60s with light winds. 47 degrees in Santa Rosa, it's 47 in Concord, 50 in San Rafael, 53 in Oakland, it's 56 in San Francisco, in San Jose, 50 degrees. I'm Dave Henderson, KSFO News and Information.
23 minutes until 10. Stephen Ponick at 10 o'clock.
Galveston, oh Galveston, I still hear your sea winds blowing. I still see her dark eyes glowing. She was 21 when I left Galveston. I clean my gun and dream of Galveston. I still see her standing by the water, standing there looking out to sea. Before I dry the tears she's crying.
before I watch your seabirds flying in the sun at Galveston, at Galveston.
Galveston, Glenn Campbell on 560 KSFO. Nothing further has developed from the Cape. Not a darn thing. It's backing and filling time until we get more information. Of course, the thought crosses my mind. I have applied to go up in this, and I'm going to continue to do so. This is the 25th space shuttle, and 24 successful. And it's like anything else. You get it on your way home in your car. It doesn't mean you stop driving. So I don't intend to change my attitude at all. Of course, the chances are minimal that I will ever be on board that. But nevertheless, my name is in the hat, in the hopper, for the journalist in space, who now I would presume will be the first civilian to fly in the shuttle. Now that this apparently has come to such an ill-fated end for Krista McAuliffe, the schoolteacher. But that is a supposition, and it's not definite yet, so we hope and pray that there's a possibility. But if you saw the video of the launch, it doesn't look good. In any event, it's 20 minutes until 10 o'clock at 5.